السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to do ayah number 3 of Surah Al-Ma'idah today. Let's begin with the word meanings. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حرمت was made haram. Haram is the root word here. So was made unlawful or was prohibited. عليكم علي upon كم all of you. الميتة al means the and ميتة dead. و and الدم dam is the root word and that means blood. Al in the beginning means the. So what damu and the blood that's shed after slaughtering. Wa and lahmu, meat or flesh. Al khinzir of the swine. Wa and ma that uhilla was called out li for. غيري other than اللهي Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بِهِ be with he it. So لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. So meaning that it was called out to another person or an idol's name. Okay, so besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and al the munkhaniqa tu. Munkhaniqa, one strangled to death. Wa and al mawqudha tu. The one killed after being injured by a violent blow. Okay. Wal mutaraddiya tu. And the one killed. Fallen down from height. وَالنَّطِيهَةُ and the one killed after being gored. Wa and ma what akala ate a sabu'u. Sabu'u in the beginning means the and sabu'u means the predatory animals or the wild beasts. Illa except ma that or what zakkaytum zakki purified or slaughtered according to the sharia tum all of you wa and ma what zubiha is sacrificed. This comes from zubiha, right? So zubiha is slaughtered ala upon an-nusub. Al means the and nusub means the altars. Wa and an that tastaqsimu. Ta in the beginning means you and sin sukun means to seek or to ask for. And qism is the root word and that means a division. So tastaqsimu, you all seek to divide bi with al the azlam arrows. ذَلِكُمْ that fisq a sin or disobedience. الْيَوْمَ الْيَوْمَ means today. يَئِسَ despaired. الَّذِينَ those who كَفَرُوا they disbelieved مِن from or about دِينِكُمْ دِينِ religion or way of life. كُمْ yours. Fala fa so la do not. Takhshawhum khashya is the root word here and that means fear. ta in the beginning means you. So takhshaw, you all fear. Hum, them. Wakhshawni, wa, and ikhshaw, fear. Me. Al-yawma, today. Akmaltu, I have perfected. The tu in the end means I. La, for kum, all of you. Dinakum, your religion or your way of life. Wa, and atmamtu, I have completed. Again, the tu at the end means I. So atmamtu, I have completed. Alay, upon, kum, all of you. Ni'mati. Ni'ma means a favor or blessing. And then the ya at the end means mine. So ni'mati, my favor. Wa, and raditu. Radit, approved. Tu, I. Lakum, la, for kum, all of you. Al-Islam, the Islam, or al-Islam, dinan, as religion or way of life. Fa, so, man, whoever. Uttura, is forced or compelled. Fi, in. Mahmasatin, starvation or hunger. Ghayra, other than. Mutajanifin, one who inclines. Li, to. Ithm, sin. Fa, so. Inna, indeed. Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghafurun, always all forgiving. This is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so is the next one. Rahim, always all merciful. Alhamdulillah. So that's it for our word meanings today. The tafsir of this ayah is long, so inshallah we're only doing ayah number 3 today. So we will begin inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So last time we went over a list of things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us not to violate the sanctity of. Today we're going to cover a list of things that are unlawful. Remember, we already learned there are a lot of do's and don'ts in this surah, right? So keep that in mind. So we start here with hurrimat, was made unlawful, was prohibited. Alaykumul maytatu, so that means you are forbidden to eat the meat of any animal that dies by itself. We covered this already in Surah Al-Baqarah. So the dead body of an animal is haram, whether that animal died on its own or it was killed. Okay, either way, the dead body of an animal is haram. We're not supposed to eat that. Any animal that was not slaughtered in the way of Allah is considered dead. Okay, so if it's not slaughtered according to the Sharia, according to the rules of Allah, then it is considered dead. But there are only two exceptions to this. So hadith tells us that there are two dead animals that are halal: the fish and locust. All seafood is dead. Okay? So anyone who doesn't bother to learn about or believe in hadith would not be able to eat seafood, because we know that fish die when we take them out of the water. And we're told here that dead animals are haram, right? So then we turn to the hadith for more details, which tells us clearly two kinds of dead meat have been permitted to us: fish and locusts. So these two kinds of dead meat have been permitted to us. That should be clear to everyone. Fish and locusts. And it doesn't matter if we like them or not. We don't have to eat them, but they are permitted. After the dead animals, let's see what's next on the list of forbidden things. Wadama, and the blood. What kind of blood? So it's the blood that is shed after slaughter. It's not blood that stays on the meat that we often see when we wash the meat afterwards. Okay, it's not that blood. It's the blood that comes out after slaughtering. So dam is what's that called? What that is called. The blood that suddenly flows when that animal is slaughtered, that's what dam is. That blood is impure. So if it gets on someone's clothes, that person cannot pray in those clothes. That blood is haram. Also, drinking blood is haram too. Some people actually poke an animal while it's still alive to take the fresh blood from that animal to drink. Astaghfirullah. They considered that a delicacy. And this was considered a delicacy among the Arabs too in the pre-Islamic times. They used to have parties where they drank fresh blood from animals, but Islam prohibited it. And medical research proves that blood has extremely harmful effects on the human body, and it leads to so many diseases. So, of course, it was forbidden for our own benefit. So only two kinds of blood have been made lawful for us. Two kinds. And that is the liver and the spleen of an animal. And note that in these two forms, the blood is not poured forth. Instead, it has solidified. So we are allowed to eat these two parts, the liver and the spleen. Next is walahm al-khinzir, and the flesh of swine. That doesn't mean that just the meat is haram. In fact, the bone, the fat, the skin, all of its parts are haram. And this applies to all animals that are haram. If we cannot eat the meat of an animal because it's not permitted, because it's haram, their skin cannot be used either. So we are not allowed to use anything that is made of their skin. We can't use leather that's made from pigs and snakes, for example. And there are other animals that we can't use the leather of too. And we can't use the fur from tigers or foxes or some other animals because we're not allowed to eat them. You'll often see leather bags and shoes made of animals that we are not allowed to eat. And also there's jackets and hats that are made of real fur from animals that are not halal. We are not allowed to use them. Of course, if it's synthetic and not actually fur, that's different. Then we can use them. So we learn from this part that we cannot use any of the parts of an animal that we're not permitted to eat. If an animal is haram and we're not allowed to eat it, we shouldn't use it for other purposes either. وَمَا أُحِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ, and that on which any name other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been invoked. That means an animal that was called out loud for someone else, anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it's being slaughtered. There are even people who say Bismillahi, Allahu Akbar, meaning they are slaughtering in the way of Allah, but then they say وَبِسْمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and in the name of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But that's not allowed, since they say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name. They say Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. along with the name of Allah. Because we are not allowed to slaughter anything. We're not allowed to sacrifice in anyone else's name besides Allah's. Only the name of Allah has to be called out when slaughtering an animal. Okay, so people cannot sacrifice animals in anyone's name besides Allah's. Nor can they sacrifice them using Allah's name along with someone else's. None of these two methods is acceptable. Okay? So any animals that are called out that way for other than Allah are haram. And the reason why people call out to someone else besides Allah when slaughtering an animal is to basically seek the pleasure or the approval of that other person. So that person would help them. For example, if anyone says that they're slaughtering an animal for Imam Hussein, they're doing something haram. Okay, it becomes haram, just like pork is a haram. Okay, and if someone says Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name when slaughtering an animal, or they have the intention of pleasing him, even when they're saying Bismillahi Allahu Akbar first, that animal is haram. And that should be clear to all of us. But if someone slaughters an animal and gives its meat out as sadaqah, as charity, with the intention of the reward going to someone who has already passed away, or if someone does an aqiqah on behalf of a child, that is fine. That's allowed. That's very different from sacrificing in the name of another person besides Allah, or saying someone else's name along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of sacrifice. Now, in another scenario where people don't call out to anyone when they slaughter the meat, they don't call out to Allah nor anyone else, that animal is haram as well. Inshallah, we'll read ahead in Surah An'am about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to eat anything that has not been slaughtered in the name of Allah. It is basically considered dead if it wasn't slaughtered in the name of Allah. So the three kinds of meat we just went over that are haram are if they have been called out to someone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they've been called out to someone else along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, or if they have not been called out to anyone. They're all haram. So the only way we are allowed to slaughter an animal is by using Allah's name. وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ And the one that is strangled to death. An animal that gets stuck somewhere and chokes to death is not halal to eat. وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ And the one that is killed by a violent blow. Sometimes animals start fighting each other, and if one gets hurt and dies, that animal is haram. We're not supposed to eat it. Same thing with an animal that's beaten by someone. Even if it's just with a stick, if that animal dies or its neck breaks off, that animal is not halal because it was injured by a violent blow. Another example of this is when animals are electrocuted to death. Okay, they're slaughtered in that way. But that's not allowed. That animal is not halal to eat. وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ And the one killed after falling down from a height. If that animal falls to its death from a hill, a mountain, or a rooftop, if it falls from a height and dies, it is haram. وَالنَّطِيحَةُ And those that are beaten or gored to death. If an animal is hit by a car and dies, or if another animal uses its horns to attack it and it dies, that animal is haram. It cannot be eaten. وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبُؤُ, and that which has been partly eaten by a wild animal. For example, when lions hunt, they eat some of the animal and they leave the rest. Other animals usually eat whatever is left over, but humans are not allowed to eat that remaining meat that's left of the prey once a predator has eaten it. It's haram. Illa, except. Now, there's an exception here, and it applies to everything from al-munkhaniqatu to akala sabu'u. So, illa ma applies to all these things. Illa ma vabkaytu, except what you slaughtered according to Sharia before its death. So, if an animal was choking, but it was still alive and you got to it, if you slaughtered it, you can eat it. Same thing with the one that is injured by a violent blow, or the one that has fallen and it's about to die, or if a predatory animal started to rip an animal apart, but it wasn't dead yet when you reached it. If it was still alive and you slaughtered it in the way of Allah, it's halal. You can eat it. So the exception applies to these cases. Illa ma. But the exception, the illa, does not apply to ma uhilla li ghayrillah. There is no exception to that whatsoever. Even if an animal is slaughtered in the way of Allah, but the intention was to please someone else, that animal is not halal. And we learned this already. So there are no exceptions to not slaughtering an animal in the way of Allah. Also, the word ma is used here before li ghayrillah, which means whatever. So whatever has been called out to ghayrillah is haram. So it doesn't just mean animals. That ma can mean desserts or other foods too, that people make and they give out in the name of someone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important to remember that anything that has been called out to anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a person or an idol, is haram. It is forbidden. So remember, it doesn't always mean animals that are slaughtered in that way. It can be other foods. So anything that has been called out to li ghayrillah, anyone other than Allah, is not halal. Okay, so that ma can mean desserts or any food items that people make or give out in the name of anyone else, an idol or a person, whoever, besides Allah. It's common in some countries for people to do this in the name of saints and imams. But this is not permitted in Islam. Any food that's given out for the approval of anyone else, whether it's a human or an idol, makes that item haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all these foods. So they can only be given out in His name. And we can't vow to give out these things in the name of anyone else, because that person's intention when they do that, when they vow to give out something in another person or an idol's name, their intention is to seek that person's approval. There's a point that people bring up when they want to argue about khinzir or pork. They say that the swine is like a goat since it has four legs, and they say that they're so clean now. Pigs these days are kept clean, and they were only dirty in the olden times. So people should be allowed to eat them. Astaghfirullah. But research proves that pigs clean up the mess around them. They actually work like vacuum cleaners to suck up all the filth around them. And that's what they were created for, to absorb garbage. They're not meant to be eaten. They're like trash cans that all the garbage belongs in. So, of course, they are dirty animals. And the food we eat affects us. Okay, the foods that we eat, any kind of food, affects our personality. It affects our actions and our ibadat. We take on the characteristics of the things we eat. So it's important to eat halal, pure things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to eat. The khinzir is not one of those things. Okay? It is one of the most shameless animals. Extensive research proves that the male pigs went to different females on the farm for mating, and the other males didn't do anything to protect their female. But when it comes to other animals, the males try to defend the females, and they fight off any males that try to approach their females to mate. But the pig isn't really bothered by this. And it seems like people who eat this animal have similar characteristics, don't they? But we know that the youth, meaning a man who lacks the demeanor of protectiveness with regard to female family members or his spouse, that man will not be able to enter Jannah because he is not bothered by the female having forbidden relations with other men, or if she's seeing other men, he's fine with it. And that can mean his wife, his daughter, his mother, his sister, whoever he's responsible for. When a woman walks around dressed inappropriately, or she's seeing other men, if the man who is responsible for her does not try to stop her, he is called the youth, and he will not be allowed to enter Jannah. So as for the swine, people who even have traces of this animal in their food will be affected by it. And astaghfirullah, some people even eat dogs, snakes, and bats, all these forbidden things. And that has led to so many diseases that spread to others as well as those people themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and He has forbidden some things. So just trust Him and only eat what He has allowed. There's khair in doing that. So if anyone claims that pigs are clean now, so it should be acceptable to eat them, astaghfirullah. Remember that it doesn't even matter if they look clean, because Allah has made them haram, so they are haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us straight out that they're haram, so there's no need to think into it or argue about it. No matter how clean pigs look nowadays, they are still haram because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said so. That's enough for us that our Lord has ordered us not to eat them. And next, وَمَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ, and that which is sacrificed on altars. Altars were specific places dedicated to some idols where they used to sacrifice animals for that idol's approval. The idols would be worshipped in those areas, and if anyone sacrificed an animal there at that designated place, it was for that idol. So whether that is done to please that person or idol, or they believe that the person or idol will intercede for them near Allah, they are doing something forbidden when they slaughter an animal in such a place. Now let's compare how this is different from وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Let's compare مَا ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّصُبِ to مَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Uhilla li ghayrillah means to call out another person's name. Okay? And ذُبِحَ عَلَى النُّسُبِ means to do it at a certain place. If anyone brings an animal to such a place and slaughters it there, even after saying the name of Allah and slaughtering it according to Sunnah, it is not acceptable. They sacrificed that animal at that specific place because they want the approval of that person. So it is not halal. We have to understand that. A Sahabi asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he could slaughter an animal at a special place because he had vowed to do that earlier. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him if there was an idol there. The Sahabi said no. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, was there an idol there in the times of Jahiliyyah, meaning in the pre-Islamic times? And the Sahabi said no, not then either. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, is this place specifically connected to someone? The Sahabi said no. And after confirming all this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him permission to go and slaughter the animal there. Okay, so then he was allowed to do it. And that can be compared to one of us thinking that we would like to sacrifice or slaughter an animal in a certain place because there's a lot of needy people there, so they can all benefit from it, right? It's just with that intention. So there's nothing wrong with doing that, as long as that place is not connected to someone specifically. Okay, that somebody is buried there, or that there's an idol that's there, or there was an idol there before. So it, as long as all those things do not apply, people can sacrifice an animal in any other place. Okay, they can't sacrifice, they can't take an animal and slaughter it in a place where there were idols, where there are still idols, or if it's designated to someone who has passed away, okay? To someone specific. Even if they're alive, if people are going to that person and then they sacrifice an animal there, it shouldn't be done, okay? But if we think that a lot of needy people live somewhere and we intend to slaughter an animal there just to help all those people there, then that's good. But if we do it at a specific place that's designated to someone who has died, that is not right. Because then we would have been doing it to please that person who is buried there. Okay? And when people do that, they think that somehow, they hope that that person will intercede for them. Even though that doesn't happen. That's why we shouldn't go to those specific places to feed people. We can find needy people in other places too, right? So why do we specifically have to go to such places? Because if it's done there, even if it's slaughtered the right way, in the name of Allah, that animal becomes haram. Because it's done for that person. Okay, next on the list is another thing that's haram, even though it's not related to food that we eat, but it is forbidden. And that's why it's mentioned here on the list with pork. Also, note how alcohol is not mentioned in this list of haram things here in this ayah, right? But it's listed as forbidden in other parts of the Quran. And inshallah, we'll learn about it ahead. So don't think that it's okay to consume forbidden things just because they're not listed here in this ayah. Even if they're not here, they are haram since they're listed as haram somewhere else in the Quran. Okay, so this ayah does not cover all the haram things. Now, The next thing, أن تستقسموا بالأزلام, that you seek to divide with the arrows, by raffling of arrows. تستقسم has two meanings. The first is to divide, meaning that you divide from arrows. This was common among the Arabs. For example, if 10 people pitched in money to buy a camel together, when they slaughtered that camel, they would take 10 arrows, and nothing was written on 3 of those arrows. The rest of the arrows had writing on them. For example, one would say that that person would get 10% of the meat, and another arrow would say that that person's going to get 50%, and so on. And that was the amount, whatever arrow that person got, was the amount of meat each person got, according to what their arrow said. And three of those people would not end up getting anything because their arrows had no writing on them. So the division by raffling of arrows is not allowed in Islam. It's haram. Nowadays, people don't divide by raffling arrows, but there are other ways that people determine if someone should get something or not. And a common example of this is the lottery. It's haram because everyone pays to buy a ticket, but only one person gets all the money without any effort, even though they should have all gotten a share of it since they all paid. So this is similar to the raffling of arrows in the past. It's done through buying tickets now. That's why the lottery is haram. It's such a great sin that it's mentioned here on the list of forbidden things, along with pork and haram, dead foods. Some people argue with this and they claim that they want to help the less fortunate, that if they win the lottery, they would give all the money to the needy people. But how can that be acceptable when they get that money in a haram way? Imagine if someone said that they want to rob other people to give all that money to the poor. It would not be okay. And neither is giving the poor money that someone won from the lottery. Even if the money is used in a good way afterwards, it is wrong because the way that money was acquired is forbidden. The second meaning of tastaqasimu means to seek fate from arrows. Back then, one man used to have arrows and people went to him to see if they should do something or not. Each of the arrows had different things written on it. So if the arrow went one way, that man would tell them that they could do whatever it was that they were thinking about doing. And if it went another way, he told them not to do it. So they used this method to determine if doing something would be good for them or not. If the arrow told them to do it, they did. And if the arrow said not to, they didn't do it. Nowadays, people do similar things when they seek fate from animals, from tarot cards, palm readings, horoscopes, calculating by numbers, and other strange, foolish ways. These things are all forbidden. But for some reason, people are so interested in these things and they blindly follow them, even though it's haram to even read what they predict about the future. It's haram to find out about these things or to follow them. Fortune tellers make so much money off of people just because people believe them. And if people stopped visiting them, they would actually work for a living like everyone else. But they don't bother because they make money off of foolish people who believe them. When Muslims get involved in such things, it just proves how weak their iman is. It is haram to find out about fate. We must all be aware of this so we can stay away from such things. If we don't bother to learn that the Quran says these things are haram, we're being really ignorant. And some Muslims even know about all these things, but they still get caught up in these haram things. People try to find out about their stars because they believe that their star influences them somehow. And they say they're doing it just for fun. But are the stars really capable of determining our fate? How can Muslims believe that? Another sin that some Muslims get involved in is when they believe someone who claims that they can tell them about things from the ghaib, the unseen, the unknown, because they have some special kind of knowledge. And they call it spirituality, and they claim that they have some special powers when they're actually doing things that are not Islamically allowed. If any of us has gone to such a person in the past, we must seek forgiveness from Allah. We have to repent because it's on the list of haram things. So we cannot tastaqsimu bil azlam. If we think eating pork is forbidden, we should know that trying to learn about faith in these ways is also forbidden. Okay, it's written in the same ayah on that same list. And it's even more shameful for people to do such things when they are studying the Quran, because they know it's wrong. Okay? We should tell people that all these things are haram. Highlight this ayah. It clearly says harimat. Right in the beginning. Okay? So, that tells us that all these things listed are haram. They are forbidden. Whatever is destined for us is going to happen. But we cannot lose our religion in trying to find out about these things ahead of time. ذَلِكُمْ فِسْقُ. These are all sinful acts. The list of things we covered are all of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of these things are good. اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم. Today, the disbelievers, يئسَ, meaning they have given up all their hope of vanquishing your religion. This means that today the disbelievers despaired that they will be able to wipe out or change your religion. They cannot damage it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed religion for us. And he has taken the responsibility of protecting it for us. And since then, so many people have tried to come up with similar things to the Quran, but they have miserably failed. A few people actually started trying to come up with similar things, even when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still around. Okay, even when he was around, they were trying to do this, but they did not succeed. They tried to say that they received wahi, na'udhu billah, but they were wiped out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved this deen for us. People thought they could try and change this deen just as they had done with the religions of the past, with the previous books. But this was not possible with Islam. And as long as Muslims are steadfast on religion, and they remain committed to it, others will give up trying to put an end to Islam, as they always have had to do in the past. They have constantly tried to change it, but they realize that they just couldn't. And it's the same now. They know that they can't make Muslims disbelieve. As long as Muslims are firm on their deen, they cannot make them turn away from it. So they give up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muslims, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. Then have no fear of them and fear me. This is very important. So we should never make decisions based on what other people would think, what they want us to do. It doesn't matter what they think. We have to act in accordance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules. Think about what he wants and do what he wants us to. Don't fear the enemy just because they're strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ Don't fear them. خَشْيَة, the root word of تَخْشَوْهُمْ and بَخْشَوْنِي. خَشْيَة means fear due to the ilm, meaning the knowledge, the status, or the greatness of someone. So don't be forced to do something against the orders of Allah just because of the fear of others. Okay, don't be pressured into doing anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow just because you're afraid of others. Only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worry about trying to please Him. We cannot upset Him. The kuffar have given up after tirelessly trying to lead Muslims away from deen. But we must remain steadfast on deen. We have to fear Allah alone and stay away from anything that displeases Him. Muslims nowadays blame the kuffar for everything they do wrong themselves. They say that, oh, it's a part of their plot to turn Muslims away from deen. They blame the Jews or the West for so many things they do wrong. So many things that they choose to do wrong. And then they blame it on the non-Muslims. But remember, as long as you are firm on your deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly, يَئِسَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن دِينِكُمْ They have given up all their hope of overthrowing your deen. Many Muslims don't focus on reforming themselves and they try to blame others for their own wrongdoing. But instead of doing that, they should focus on what they should do, and that is to be steadfast on deen. Others have done so much to try to mislead Muslims. For over 1400 years, they've been trying, and they're going to continue trying. We don't need to worry about exposing them. Just focus on ourselves so we can reform our own selves. Don't waste energy trying to figure out how they're plotting against us. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, along with the list of halal and haram things, is so that we know that we have to stop when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us to do something. Just stop. And we will only do what He has permitted. Just keep that in mind. Don't look towards others to figure out if we should do something or not. Because once people see that you are firm in your deen, they'll give up and they'll leave you alone to practice it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us three things about the day this ayah was revealed. He says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Today, I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and approved Islam as a deen for you. SubhanAllah. The first thing, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ Today I have perfected your religion for you. The word أَكْمَلْتُ comes from being كَامِل, meaning complete and perfect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected our deen on that day. And then He says, "Wa atmamtu," and I completed. "Alaykum ni'mati," my favor upon you. This means that if anything was left out from the time of Adam alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed everything in this deen. Or if any changes were made to the religions before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed this religion in such a way that it will not be changed. أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ means that He has clearly told us what our way of life should be. He has made it very clear Because deen means way of life, and he has perfected it for us. The difference between akmaltu and atmamtu is that akmaltu means to make perfect, and atmamtu means to complete. He made perfect by adding things to the former religions, the religions of the past. So he made them perfect by adding things to them or by removing things from them to improve them, even though they were complete. So he has perfected the deen for us. And there's no room for any improvement. It is best the way it is, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it for us. And he has completed it already, so we cannot add anything to it. If we try to add anything, we simply can't. We're not allowed because it is complete already. We hear stories about Muslims trying to add things to deen. They say that they had a dream in which someone told them that something should be added to the list of things we do as Muslims. So they want to start doing it. But that's not allowed. If everyone added just one thing to deen every year, since it was sent, 1400 changes would have been made already to it, and it would not have gotten to us in its original form. So we can't add to deen. Remember, we learned la taghlu fi dinikum, do not exceed in your religion. So people cannot add to the rules. We all want the original. We don't want copies of it. The deen of Allah is still preserved in its original form, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed anyone to make additions to it. So we can't add to Islam as others added to their religions before Islam, because that's what led to their straying. And that is why we cannot come up with bid'at or innovations in deen. People who do that will end up in Jahannam. So nobody can take that lightly or claim that they're not doing anything wrong because they're only trying to add something good. That's how bid'at start off, when people think something is good, so they just start doing it. But that is adding new things to deen, adding to the things Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when it's not allowed. That's why it's wrong to do it, and it should not be done. And that is why it's such a bad thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly told us, atmamtu, I have completed for you your religion. Accept it as it is. We don't need to come up with new things to add to it. Nothing was left out of our deen. It is complete. Some people say that it's okay to celebrate Christmas because we're just celebrating Isa alayhi salam's birthday if we celebrate. We do believe in all the messengers and we respect all of them, but we're not taught to celebrate their birthdays. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, atmamtu, he has completed deen for us. Nobody needs to add things to it, no matter who they are. Even if they are religious scholars or imams or saints, they cannot add to deen. And if we try to come up with new things, we basically mean to say that we think deen was incomplete without me adding something to it. Na'udhu billah. How can we dare to do that? We know that deen is complete, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly told us here. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامُ دِينًا, and I have approved al-Islam as a deen for you, as a way of life. This applies till the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us all to follow Islam until the day of judgment. He has approved this deen for us, this religion, and none will come after this religion. And that's why we say, Raditu Billahi Rabban wa Bil Islami Deenan, that we are pleased with Allah as our Lord and Islam as our religion. That's enough for us. This ayah was revealed on the blessed day of Arafah during Hajj, in the ground of Arafat near Jabal Rahma, after Asr time on a Friday. And we all know that that's a very special time. It's a blessed time. That day, this ayah was revealed. So it's a great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the religion for us, and He made it perfect for us. If anyone wants to add anything to it, are they objecting to it being perfect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it's perfect. The Sahaba related that when this ayah was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the camel was kneeling down due to the weight of the revelation, subhanAllah, because it's such a powerful ayah. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says that this ayah is about the last of the Quran. Okay, so it's one of the last of the Quran. No other ayah with orders from Allah was sent after this ayah. So this ayah is really special. Once the ulama of the Jews, the Jewish scholars, went to see Umar radiallahu anhu, and they said that there's a special ayah in your Quran that if such an ayah had been sent to the Jews, they would have celebrated that day as Eid. And that's because this is a great present from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslims, in which He says that He has completed and perfected religion for us. Nothing similar was said to any other ummah. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked them which ayah they were talking about. They told him that it was this ayah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. And Umar radiallahu anhu replied, yes, we know when and where this ayah was revealed. It was on the day of Arafah, on Jumu'ah, meaning that it was the day of Eid for us. And in his response to the Jews, he hinted at a rule we follow as Muslims, that we only celebrate as Eid the days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to celebrate. We cannot determine on our own if we should celebrate the day someone honorable was born, or the day they died, or the anniversary of a special event. People from different countries celebrate different things, but Muslims don't do that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such beautiful examples of people, but He has not even ordered us to celebrate their days of birth or the days they died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Ibrahim alayhi salam Abul Anbiya, meaning the father of the prophets, and He calls him a whole ummah because he did as much work as a whole ummah does put together. But we don't celebrate the day Ibrahim alayhi salam was born or the day he passed away, and neither do we celebrate the day his son was born. That's not what Muslims were taught to do. We remember things that remind us of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam that are connected to deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. Like running between the Safa and the Marwa, the sacrifice, circumcision. These things are all done in remembrance of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. But we can't celebrate the day Ibrahim alayhi salam was born or passed away. The Christians exceeded in their religion by making the day their prophet was born their Eid. Okay, the day they celebrate. And now some Muslims exceed when they celebrate another Eid that they've come up with, and they call it Eid Miladun Nabi. But there were so many prophets, and we respect all of them. We don't celebrate their birthdays. If we did, we would be celebrating every single day. Likewise, People remember the day Imam Hussein was martyred. Why don't they remember the day when Uthman radiallahu anhu was martyred in such a cruel way? Umar radiallahu anhu was also martyred in the way of Allah. He was one of the shuhada as well. And so were so many other great sahaba. But we don't remember them on the days they were martyred, because this is not something Islam teaches us to do. So we only celebrate Eid on the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to. And that's a great blessing. It was a beautiful gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Muslim Ummah. He says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. This is good news for Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected and completed religion for us and approved of Islam as religion for us from that day onwards till the day of judgment. All the people who were born after Islam was sent as religion, they all will be judged according to it on the day of judgment. If they had accepted Islam, their actions will be judged. Their deeds will be judged. Scales that weigh the deeds will not be established for people who did not accept Islam. So on the day of judgment, judgment will be based on the basis of Islam. And remember that Islam is a whole way of life, not just something we fill in when choosing what religion we follow. فَمَنِ اضْطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ. So whoever was forced by hunger, meaning if someone is forced to eat whatever is forbidden from any of the things we learned about earlier in this ayah, غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمٍ, not intending to commit sin. That means this person doesn't desire to eat haram or forbidden foods that were given out at altars. So it's not like that person feels like eating those foods, but because that person is compelled to eat it due to starvation or the possibility of dying from hunger, then he or she can eat it. But even then, that person should not eat as much as they want to and enjoy it. They should just eat as much as necessary to be able to survive. Okay, because it's only meant to prevent starvation. Some people claim that they're forced to eat meat that has not been properly slaughtered in the way of Allah, because halal meat is not available where they live. They don't have access to it. But that's not acceptable. It's not like they would die if they didn't eat meat, if it's not available there. So many people choose to be vegetarian, okay, by choice, and they survive without eating meat. So of course, people who present this as an excuse to eat meat that's not halal are not excused. When they only find meat that has not been slaughtered properly in the name of Allah, they should not eat it, because it is basically considered dead. Any animal that dies from injury is considered dead. Okay, it's not considered halal. Some Muslims argue that it's okay because a lot of Arabs eat it. But there was an Egyptian scholar who gave a fatwa about this, and that led to some people following his fatwa. That's why we see people who just eat meat that is not zabiha. But many people oppose him. They did back then and they still do. And they clearly said that it was wrong. The Quran has told us it is not halal. So there is no excuse whatsoever. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Then, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, all merciful. Now, why is this mentioned at the end? Because if anyone is forced to eat something haram due to starvation, when eating it is sinful otherwise, normally it's a sin to eat such foods. But if they're forced to eat it because there is no option and they're starving, if they're compelled by hunger to eat what is forbidden, not intending to commit sin, that person will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving. That person will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala merciful. He is so merciful. That's why he doesn't tell people not to eat it, even if they would die without doing so. Okay, he tells them that they can eat it, but just eat a little bit. Just eat enough to be able to survive if there is no other option. Because he is forgiving, he is merciful. He allows it because he knows this person has no option. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.